From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? Yes, it is your favorite time of the day. 1 o'clock is rolled around and Current Sports is pumping through your speakers. As always, I am your host, Al Martin, TGIF. Yes, you have made it. The work week is just about done, and pretty soon the weekend will ensue. And there's a lot of things taking place in the world of sports over the weekend. I personally cannot wait until Sunday. Yes, the two Super Bowl contenders will be decided, folks. We will give you our thoughts and predictions on the NFC and AFC championship games. We'll also be talking about the big decision of Cardale Jones deciding to stay for his final year at Ohio State. Also, the MSU men's basketball team take on Maryland tomorrow. And it's Friday, and you know that means Reflection Friday, as we take a look at the week that was in sports and give you our favorite moments here on the show and of the sports world. You don't want to miss any of that. We'll talk about all of that and so much more, but as custom on the show, let's start Current Sports like we always do. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners for this January 16th. All right, folks, let's start with the MSU women's basketball team, huh? The MSU women's basketball team won their first Big Ten game of the season yesterday, beating Illinois 63-55. Now, the win snaps a five-game losing streak to open conference play. Now, the Spartans haven't started 0-5, dating all the way back until 2001. Ariel Powers led the way with 33 points and 11 rebounds for the Spartans. They will now take on Iowa at home this Sunday at 3 p.m. on ESPN2. All right, Michigan State midfielder Fatai Alashe became the highest ever drafted Spartan soccer player as he was picked fourth overall by the San Jose Earthquakes in the MLS Super Draft. Now, the previous high for a Spartan being drafted was in 2009 when Doug DeMartin went 22nd overall. Now, Spartan midfielder also Jay Chapman is also on his way to the MLS after he signed a homegrown player deal with Toronto FC. So hats off to Alashe and Chapman. Certainly big accomplishments there. All right, East Lansing soccer star DeJuan Jones will be honored as the area's first ever high school soccer All-American. Now, Jones is one of 56 players nationally to receive the honor this season. The Michigan State commit will be honored at the National Soccer Coaches Association of America luncheon on Saturday out in Philly. All right, Michigan State's hockey team will travel to Penn State for a Big Ten series this weekend. MSU is currently in fourth place in the Big Ten Conference and is coming off a 4-1 victory over the U.S. Under-18 National Development Team last Friday. Now, the series kicks off Friday night at 7 p.m. The Red Wings, they get a big win yesterday, picking up, again, on the road, a win on Thursday night, topping the St. Louis Blues 3-2 in OT. Pavel Datsyuk scored the game winner with 2.2 seconds left in OT. Joakim Andersson, he and Tomas Tatar both in added goals in regulation for the Wings. The Red Wings sit in fifth place in their Eastern Conference following the win. And my Pistons are back in action tonight. The Detroit Pistons are on the road for a 7 p.m. matchup with the Indiana Pacers. Detroit comes in with a 14-25 record, but have won 9 of their past 11 games. Now, tonight, the Pistons look to match a franchise record with their 6th consecutive road victory. The Pacers enter play with a 15-25 record. The Pistons sit 2 games behind the Brooklyn Nets for the final playoff seed. And after a 3-team deal went down between the Boston Celtics, Phoenix Suns, and LA Clippers, Austin Rivers, son of Clippers head coach Doc Rivers, will be his old man's new backup point guard. How about that? Creating the first father-son duo in NBA history. Now, with the addition of Rivers, the Clippers seem to have really shored up the backcourt for the remainder of the season, but that's pretty cool. Doc and his son on the same squad. I look forward to seeing that. All right, Matthew Stafford, folks, there's a good chance that Stafford could be the first Pro Bowl quarterback the Detroit Lions have seen represented from their team in 43 years. Yes, it's been that long, folks. Now, Stafford, the fourth quarterback alternate, is headed to Arizona. If any of the two Mannings or Aaron Rodgers or Tony Romo pull out the game. Now, first alternate Drew Brees is already in replacing Ben Roethlisberger. Second alternate Phillip Rivers will replace Tom Brady or Andrew Luck. And that leaves either Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson's spot open pending the NFC Championship game. So we'll see how that pans out. All right, folks, so that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in right now and give your thoughts on any of those, you know that number, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and leave us a comment there. Or, hey, even tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. So without further ado, hey, let's start the show. All right, folks. Well, I have just three extended headliners also to mention. Detroit Lions defensive coordinator Terrell Austin, he also has withdrawn his name from the Denver Broncos coaching search. Now, this comes a day after having a second interview. If you remember, we talked about this yesterday with the Atlanta Falcons for their head coaching position. Austin, of course, led a Detroit defense that finished second overall in the NFL. Big, big matchup tonight in the world of high school hoops. Grand Ledge travels to Lansing Everett in a battle for first place in the CAAC Blue. Tonight at 6 p.m. is when the game will start. This marks the first meeting of the season between the two CAAC Blue rivals. Everett, of course, is 3-0 in the CAAC Blue, 6-1 overall. Grand Ledge enters play with an undefeated record, including 6-0 overall. And Trey Wayans, how about this? ESPN's draft expert, Mel Kiper, in his mock draft, he has former MSU corner Trey Wayans going 16th overall to the Houston Texans. How about that? Now, according to Kiper, Wayans, quote, will draft his draft grade will be as the best corner overall in the draft for many years. He also offers something that pretty much everybody covets at the position, which is length. So we'll see where Trey ends up. But Kiper believes he will be a high, high draft pick. So how about that? Again, folks, our phone lines are open. We'll be taking your calls all the way up until 2 o'clock, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Later on in the show, of course, the MSU men's basketball team, they will resume action, Big Ten play, after taking an early week bye off against Maryland. They have a chance to possibly enact some revenge. Of course, Maryland was the team that Tom Izzo and company lost to start Big Ten play. Very close game, went down to the wire, but Michigan State fell in the closing moments of that game. So they go on the road now to try and enact some revenge against the Terrapins. So we'll break down that game. We'll also be breaking down the NFL Divisional Championship games that will be taking place this Sunday. I am excited. It's one of my favorite days in sports. Arguably better than the Super Bowl, because I tell you what, the Super Bowl these past 2 years hasn't been that great to watch. We've had a few lopsided victories, but I tell you what, the Divisional Championship games are always, always something to get up for and watch, folks. I can't wait for them. We'll break down that, also give our thoughts and predictions on that as well. And with it being Friday, of course, we love to reflect on this show, on the week that was in sports and right here on Current Sports, and give you our favorite moments and stories on Reflection Friday, folks. And hey, we're also giving away a pair of tickets to go see Susie Merchant and Company on the MSU women's basketball team as they take on the Iowa Hawkeyes this Sunday at 3 o'clock. If you want to win tickets to that game, again, all you got to do is pick up that phone and call 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. That's the way we're going to start today's show, by talking about the MSU women's basketball team. I was in the house last night as they took on, of course, Illinois. And they got their first Big Ten win of the year, folks. 63-55 was the final of that win. And I tell you what, seeing Susie Merchant in that post-game press conference, I have never seen Susie look that just kind of that defeated, I guess you can say. I don't like to use that word defeated at times when describing demeanors in the world of sports, but I got to be honest. I mean, Susie just kind of just looked kind of just worn and tired out and just really kind of discouraged of what everything that has taken place this year. Being 0-5 to start conference play, the injuries and illnesses that this team has gone through, Jasmine Lumpkin, of course, leaving, deciding to leave the team. That news was broke on Monday, of course. And, you know, with everything that has gone through with this team so far, Susie just looked just pretty discouraged. And I tell you what, though, her words alluded to a different mood, though, because even with everything that has gone down, she said that this team still has a lot of fight in them, and you better believe that they are not waving any white flags right now or ever throughout this year. That's just not the way this team is built. So, you know, again, 63-55 was the final last night. Here's Susie Merchant on her thoughts of this year being the toughest year that she has ever been involved with in her tenure of coaching.
I've been doing this for 20 years. I've never been through anything like this before. I've had a kid or maybe two, you know, I've never had this kind of stuff go on in terms of all at once kind of. But like I said, I mean, the biggest thing is you just keep your team together. You just stay in the fight. You keep battling, you know, you never stop believing. And that's kind of what I feel like we have to focus on, you know. It's easy with like media and, you know, articles and all that, you know, it's easy to get distracted because everybody wants to talk about it. But at the end of the day, like we have to just stay as tight as we can stay and do what we need to do to try to win games, you know, and let all that other stuff go. You know, I mean, we can't help what happened. It is what it is. So let's just roll up our sleeves. And I think that's what you saw. I mean, I don't know how people can't appreciate what they just saw out there. I mean, with a couple walk-ons and a couple freshmen that are, I mean, four of the seven kids are completely inexperienced and, you know, seven people basically. I mean, and they're battling. I mean, they're right there and they're winning games or they're right there to win games, you know, and we should have won that Nebraska game, you know, could have won the Northwestern game both times, you know. So I'm proud of this group, you know, and I'm just going to keep it as positive as I can because they, you know, it's one thing for a coach to stand up here and say, you know, they lost their team, right? I mean, that's happened at Michigan State. Some guy said that back in the day and he wasn't here very long. I've not lost this team and I won't lose this team. This team believes in itself and they fight and they play for each other and they play for our coaches, period. And that's all you can ask for. You know, I knew it's going to happen for this group. I'm telling you, it's just going to happen because it's the same group of kids that battled some of the best competition in the country. It's been the toughest schedule we ever had. And to turn around and be 8-3, top 25 with some of the issues we've had without Hines, you know, be honest with you, without Brandy, without all the people that have gotten hurt. You know, so I'm just trying to stay positive as I can and just tell you, like, this team has a lot of heart and a lot of fight, and they fight for each other and they fight for the coaches. And at the end of the day, you know, that's a great place to start.
Yes, they certainly do. Again, that's head coach of the MSU women's basketball team, Susie Merchant, addressing us media members after the win to Illinois, 63-56. Again, the final of that one last night. Again, Michigan State getting their first win of the Big Ten year. And as you just heard, I mean, Susie, you have to admire her so much because I tell you what, there are a lot of teams that really would have folded at this point in the year. But, you know, watching this team yesterday at the Breslin Center, I mean, throughout that entire game, and ideally just having seven players to really work with. I mean, you got Tori Jankowska, Kara Miller, Ariel Powers, Lexi Gusser, Becca Mills, Anna Morrissey, and Kennedy Johnson. Those seven players are really the prime rotational bodies that Susie has to work with now. Of course, there's been a lot of injuries. You know, you talk about Brandy Agee, you know, Jasmine Hines, Jasmine Lumpkin deciding to leave the program. I mean, those three alone are such intricate parts to what this Michigan State team does. And to have, let alone those injuries happen and to have them out, I mean, you have a seven-person rotation. Two guys coming off the bench, and you come in there and you have a gritty effort against Illinois. There were moments throughout that game, and there are a few glaring numbers that really have to be cleaned up if Susie and company still want to rattle off a few more Big Ten wins and really kind of change this whole season around. I'll get to those in just a sec. But just from an overall morale standpoint, for this team to still fight, for this team to still come in against high-powered teams and to have a positive mindset. I mean, I even saw a lot of smiles throughout that game yesterday. There are a lot of teams that would not have that type of emotion at this point in the season, looking at what has taken place. So you got to give a huge hats off to Susie Merchant, and that's just a testament to who she is and to the type of personality that she brings and wants to bring to this squad year in and year out. Here's a bite from Tori Jankowska. Of course, she is such an integral part to what this team does. I love the two-headed monster between her and Ariel Powers, who you'll also get to hear from in just a sec. But Tori also addressed on that mentality of never giving up, on not waving the white flag right now. And also you get to hear her thoughts on hearing about Jasmine Lumpkin leaving the team. Here's Tori.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think any of us are built like that as people to just give up. And, I mean, we've been in 3 out of the 5 games that we lost. We should have won 2 of them. So right there we could be, what is that, 3-3, 3-2, something like that. Either at least 500, and I think we should be, and we know that. Like, Coach just kept telling us, we're right there. We were right there in the Nebraska game, right there in the Northwestern game. So we win those 2, we're 3-3, and we're in business. But we got 4 or 5 games home, and we got to make sure we're taking care of business here and then get a couple road wins, and we're back in business. Coach Merchant, we know she's never going to give up on us, and we know our teammates are never going to give up on each other. So that's really big. We've taken a lot of punches, as Coach would call them, but all of us as a team, we have a team mindset to just keep fighting back and keep getting up, and that's kind of what we're made for.
What was your reaction when you guys heard about Jasmine
Lumpkin?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Coach told me before film, and I was like, my jaw dropped. I was like, you're kidding, right? Coach can't catch a break. I mean, she's had teams that are always either injured or she's had drama, people leaving. I was like, man, you really can't catch a break. But, I mean, that's also kind of big because she's the type of coach to never give up. She'll never take her foot off the gas and always is built for adversity. And she helps us overcome it. And I think she's really held us together as a team.
Tori Jankowska, MSU women's basketball guard. Again, that's Tori weighing in on the mentality, and you can kind of hear it, you know, throughout that entire bite. I mean, you know, she's laughing, and you can just kind of hear just an overall emotion of hope and just happiness still. I mean, it's really remarkable because, again, there are a lot of teams, a lot of players out there. I mean, going through the season that they've gone through, just honestly wouldn't have a mood like that. Point blank, period. So, and then your harder thoughts on Jasmine. Again, it was a surprise to the entire team. She really couldn't believe it. Her jaw hit the floor. And Susie was also asked about it in yesterday's presser and, you know, asked to give any further comment on it. And she said, no, I'm not going to comment on it. I just wish her the best. So, as time goes on, who knows if we'll ever get the real story behind why Jasmine decided to leave. Only time will tell, though. And, you know, again, just harping on the mentality before I break down the numbers here, here's also Ariel Powers. So, again, led the team. I mean, she's also Ariel Powers has been unbelievable this year. She had 33 points last night, 11 rebounds as well. Ariel Powers is so athletic. She's so versatile on the court. But she also talked about the mentality of this team. And, they have adopted a new slogan, if you will.
We start this thing called the U-turn. Like, U-turn, like, we need to start turning back and become the team we were in preseason. Like, we were killing it. We had each other backs, and everybody was stepping up. So we need to get back to that. And we're starting to make it now.
You talk about the U-turn. Who came up with that? It
was me by accident, really. We were just talking. We were talking before. It was before the Northwestern game. It was after practice. And I forgot how it went. It was like, yeah, we need to turn around. We need to turn around. I was like, U-turn on 3. And then everybody started laughing. And then they were like, yeah, yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, that sounds good. So then we just kind of went with it. And then we lost at Northwestern. So we're like, okay, we missed the turn. This is the one. So that's kind of, I don't know, that goes along with our personalities, you know.
Does it help to make this U-turn now that you're playing three of the next four games at home?
Yes. Oh, yes. That's what we're talking about. Having the home, our fans are around us and just excited and encouraging us is going to help us make the U-turn.
All right, yeah, again, that's Ariel Powers. And again, you can hear, through her voice, I mean, just how this team is still enacting a positive attitude. Again, so that's the motto right now. U-turn for this team. They're trying to turn it around. Again, it's tough. It is tough right now because, again, starting a conference year 0-5, I mean, the creme de la creme of a conference may not even have five losses. So Michigan State right now, they currently sit in 13th place, which is second from last right now in the Big Ten Conference. But again, you heard the mentality. There are no white flags being raised right now. So again, right now they're working with a seven-woman rotation. They even had Kelsey Kuypers, who is an MSU women's volleyball player. She was active on the roster yesterday, folks. That's how crazy this situation has gotten. Susie talked about how she reached out to Kathy George upon hearing about Jasmine Lumpkin leaving the team and just saying, hey, Kathy, I just need a body. So now you have even Kelsey on the squad. But the effort, going on last night's game, the effort was there. Rebounding is something that this team has certainly not taken a step back on. You can give a lot of credit to Becca Mills last night for her stellar effort. They out-rebounded Illinois 50-33, a 50-33 rebounding advantage for MSU there. But there are a few glaring things that, again, that I talked about when we had Brian Callaway on the show last week. 29 turnovers for Michigan State. That can't happen. That just cannot happen. That is way too many turnovers throughout an entire game, and frankly, they are lucky to get they are kind of lucky that they were that efficient on the offensive end to sort of even out that disparity, because again, if you look at 29 turnovers, you usually don't win a basketball game if you have that amount of turnovers or anything close to that throughout an entire game. Looking at the upcoming schedule, you got Iowa this Sunday, a team who sits at third place right now in the Big Ten. They are a great team. This will be a nationally televised game on ESPN2. Then they move on to play Wisconsin, who are ninth in the Big Ten, and then Ohio State. So these next three games are going to be definitely tough for this team. But again, you better believe they're going to go down. They're going to go down without a fight. So it's going to be an interesting next few games. And again, it helps that the next three of the next four are at home in the Breslin Center. Folks, again, we are taking your calls throughout this entire hour, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We have a caller right now on line one. Carl is now on the show. Carl, you are on Current Sports. How you doing, my man?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Al. Now, my question is this. Now, I'm sure you're familiar with the bus who's from our old neighborhood. He made a comment yesterday on television yesterday as regarding Andrew Luck. And he says he thinks this is Andrew Luck's time. And I want to know what you think about that.
Right, right. Well, I tell you what, you know, it's interesting because we were talking with a few of the students who work with us on the show here about this game, this matchup this weekend. And you know what, honestly, Carl, and shout out to Carl, yeah, this is my, because I haven't heard from you in a while, man. Thanks for calling. But
I appreciate talking to you. It's good to talk to you.
Definitely, man. But you know, when looking at Andrew Luck, I honestly believe, Carl, that when you look at this Indianapolis Colts team, heck, I didn't even think they would be in this position right now. I think they are a subpar team defensively. And again, if you take Andrew Luck out of the equation, this team does not even sniff the playoffs, in my opinion, because I don't think they're that great offensively if it wasn't for Andrew Luck. But when you look at this matchup that happened this weekend, if whether or not it's Andrew Luck's time, if to let the cat out the bag early, and again, we're going to discuss the NFC divisional playoffs during our second segment of the show, but to let my prediction out of the bag early, I do think they fall to Tom Brady and company this weekend. And reason being, I just think that Bill Belichick, when you talk about his coaching prowess, Bill Belichick is one of the best in the business. His track record is unbelievable. If he does win, which I think he will on Sunday, Bill Belichick will accomplish one of the most unbelievable accomplishments in NFL history, and becoming one of the top leaders when it comes to playoff wins in NFL playoff history for a coach. Tom Brady, of course, he'll also, if he ends up going to the Super Bowl and winning the Super Bowl, he will actually have 6 rings, which will be the most in NFL history. When it matters most, it is hard to bet against the New England Patriots and what they do. But, again, that's no knock on Andrew Luck because, again, he has really put this team on his shoulders. And for him to be the only quarterback in the playoffs without a Super Bowl ring is truly remarkable, and it's a true testament to his talent. And his ceiling, we haven't even reached his ceiling yet, Carl.
Well, it's good to hear your opinion, Al. And I'm just taking it from the bus. You know, we both know he's been there, so we gotta respect his opinion.
Definitely.
We'll see what happens. All right.
We certainly will. That's why they play the game, my man.
All right. Have a good one.
All right, Carl. Appreciate that. All right. We also have another caller right now on line 2. My man Mike from Saginaw. Mike, you are on Current Sports. How you doing?
What's up, L. Martin, man? Is y'all going to be broadcasting on the holiday Monday?
Yes, we will be on the air on Monday for MLK Day. We got a special segment in store for that day as well.
Okay, I want to ask you about, before I ask you about the NFL, I want to ask about the high school transfers.
Right.
Is they eligible to play basketball now?
The transfers, are they eligible?
Yeah, because I know in Detroit they got 2 transfers coming on to that team right offhand, and I just want to know if the high schools is not like the college where the transfers from another university
have to sit out a year.
They have to wait to the semester start before they can play. Is that the case with the high schools or what?
You know what? I am honestly not sure. I think we have to look that one up, Mike, because, again, I'm familiar with the way the college process works. I mean, if the transfer comes in, they have to sit out a year before becoming eligible to play. But when it comes to high school, I mean, I would imagine there has to be kind of a brief period where they would have to sit out. But we'll put our minions on it and have to look that up, because I'm honestly not sure, Mike.
Before I started talking about football, you was talking about the women's team and how they only got a certain amount of scholarship players. I noticed Connecticut the same way with their women's team. Is it just because of injuries, or is it just that because women's teams got they have the same amount of scholarships the men's team, do they?
Well, I tell you what, Mike, when looking at Susie Merchant's team, because I can only speak for her team right now, this team has gone through so much when it comes to, again, and it seems as though every year we're talking about Susie Merchant having to deal with players who are injured on her team, players that are sick on her team, and having to really dig deep into that roster to find some sort of efficiency that she can bring to the hardwood. But right now, again, I mean, what's so glaring about this year is that the injuries that have taken place have been to some of the premier players that Susie relies on both ends of the court. I mean, we talk about Jasmine Hines, for instance. Jasmine Hines is so influential down in that paint, her and Becca Mills alike. And now Becca is healthy, and nothing has been going on with her. But still, I mean, when you lose a Jasmine Hines, who is known for her rebounding, who is known for her polished fundamentals down low, that's going to deliver a big blow for you. Point blank, period. And then you bring in Brandy AG. You know, Brandy is a player who comes in and relieves the minutes of a Tori Jankowska and an Ariel Powers. Ariel Powers, for those of you who tuned into that game yesterday, Ariel Powers, I mean, her minutes were through the charts. I mean, there was rarely any time, if any, that Ariel Powers did not play last night. And in doing so, she actually, exactly. There was a moment at the end of that game where she actually cramped up and, you know, almost gave Susie Merchant a heart attack because she thought it was just a really serious injury at the time. But it happened to be just a cramp from Ariel playing all of those minutes. And, you know, we all know cramps are a product of exhaustion. She was honestly exhausted from all those minutes that she played yesterday. So when you lose key components like that, that relieve minutes, that relieve offensive and defensive proficiency throughout a game, that is going to naturally hurt a team. And, you know, again, you're only dealing with a 7-man rotation right now for this team. I mean, for me, it's the lack of bodies as to why this team isn't successful right now, Mike.
Okay. Let me ask you about the pro football, the New England and New England and
Colts.
I forgot, man.
New England and Colts
anyway,
game. Yeah.
New England playing Indianapolis Colts and
right.
Seattle playing Green Bay. What
right.
I'd like to hear is why Russell Wilson don't get all the publicity like Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. I know that he won the Super Bowl. He just won his last year, but it seemed like Eli Manning even get more publicity than he does, man.
Right.
I just take it off the end. Thanks for letting me talk to you.
Thanks a lot, Mike, for your call. Always appreciate it, my man. But, yeah, you know, that's a very interesting angle because myself, actually, that thought crossed my mind during midway through the year of this NFL season. And you know what? I think, you know, when you talk about, you know, being a product of the media, we all know that Tom Brady has had unheralded success in the NFL. You know, he also his persona off the field. I mean, hey, you know, he's a pretty boy. I mean, he dates Giselle. I mean, he's always in the talks, whether it be not football related or even not football related. You know, and when you talk about, you know, Aaron Rodgers, he's been so good for so many years. I just think that Russell Wilson, I mean, him being such still a young quarterback, he hasn't gotten the time to build up that repertoire, even though he's been a Super Bowl winning quarterback. He won a Super Bowl last year. I mean, he's a fantastic, fantastic individual at what he does at the QB position. His track record and his legend is still being built. And when you talk about other quarterbacks in the league, they've had time to build up that resume, to build up that tenure. And we're so used to talking about those individuals that naturally they instantly become a topic of conversation. Russell Wilson is getting there, though, Mike. I think that, you know, as time goes on and we're starting to see how dynamic this guy is and the fact that, you know, he's a clean-cut guy. You know, you don't hear about any off-the-field issues or any off-the-field stories for that matter when it comes to Russell Wilson. He keeps his private life relatively very tight-sealed and private at that. And with that also being added in there, that's why you don't see him talked about as much as other personalities in the league. But again, if he does go all the way and win a ring, another ring, I should say, I think you will start to see that media fiasco turned up just a little bit. So again, folks, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. If you want to call in, give your thoughts on anything that we've been talking about today and so much more. Call in right now, folks. Listen to our first break. When we come back, we'll be giving you a preview of the MSU men's basketball game against Maryland. That's right. Tom Izzo and company try to get back at it and sort of have a chance to enact a bit of revenge against the team that etched their loss column, I guess you can say, against Maryland as they lost that first game of the Big Ten Conference year. We'll give you a preview of that game and also break down the NFL Divisional Championship games and so much more. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Friday, TGIF, folks, January 16th. Each and every Friday, Alex loves to have a lot of fun in and out of our breaks by playing funky music. It's Funky Friday, right, Alex? That's what you dub it, right? Funky Friday today. So, but also, folks, I don't know if you guys have seen this video yet, but it is quickly becoming and is on pace right now to become the highest viewed video ever in WKAR history. How about that? It was actually the dunk from East Lansing zone, Mikael Miles, as East Lansing took on Lansing Everett. Folks, the Bleacher Report picked up the video yesterday and put it on their website. It was on Detroit Sports Radio as well. It still is actually on Detroit Sports Radio, their homepage. It's arguably, probably, it will most likely, and I think it's safe to say right now, that it will go down as the top dunk from the mid-Michigan area and will compete as the top play in mid-Michigan high school hoops, or Michigan high school hoops, I should say. If you haven't seen it, go to WKAR.org. We have it posted right there. It's also on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Just a crazy, crazy dunk that is getting a lot of attention, folks. Again, also, Mikael Miles is the little brother to former MSU women's basketball player Clarissa Bell. So she also helped with raising the hype of this video as well. But I just happened to get lucky filming that that day. And sometimes you're just at the right place at the right time. All right, we haven't heard his voice all hour. The man behind the glass, Alex Sharg, now joins me on the show. Alex, my man, how you doing?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good. And yeah, it's time to start talking about how wrong we were yesterday with Cardale Jones.
Yes, it certainly is. I tell you what, Cardale Jones, of course, third string. No, he's not the starting QB. He's not even the backup, but third string quarterback for the Ohio State Buckeyes, Cardale Jones, who led Ohio State to a Big Ten championship win over Wisconsin. Then after that, knocked off one of the perennial powerhouses year after year in college football in Alabama, knocked off Bama, Nick Saban and company, and then he plays on the premier stage of college football, the national championship, and might I add, the first ever national champion when it comes to this whole college football playoff. He leads his team to victory in that game. And, you know, speculation starts ensuing as to whether or not Cardale Jones would come back to Ohio State and whether or not he should come back to Ohio State. Seeing as though, I mean, he starts three games and, you know, and wins, you know, three ideal championship games. I mean, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable. So, you know, we reported yesterday that on the show that Cardale will be making his decision at 4 o'clock. And he did, of course. And shocking news, Cardale, to me at least, and Alex, he decided to come back. Cardale Jones decided to come back. I tell you what, Alex, my jaw was certainly on the floor because, you know, if I got to be honest with you. If I was in Cardale's shoes, I would have went for the money, without a doubt. I mean, because when you talk about the situation now, I just want to put something in perspective here. Let's just say you are Cardale Jones. You are the third string quarterback for the Ohio State Buckeyes. You're backing up a guy in, first off, Braxton Miller, who many people, he was in Heisman talks before the season even started. He's unbelievable. He's an ex-unbelievable canny on the field when it comes to his awareness, his intangibles, and athleticism as a quarterback. And then you're backing up a guy in JT Barrett, who, in many regards, you can argue that, you know, he reads the field even better than Braxton Miller. He's so patient and poised. I think out of all three of those QBs, his instincts, his football instincts are the highest. And then there's you, who backs up both of those guys, and you decide to come back to get your degree, to get his education. And I think, you know, looking at his statement, that was one of the biggest reasons why he decided to do so. First off, I have to tip his cap because there are many individuals that would have gone for the moolah like me who would have said, okay, that's all fine and dandy. I'll come back and get my degree. But the shelf life of an NFL player is not that elongated. Why not try my talents right now and go to the league and try and get this money and instantly become a millionaire? I was shocked. What are your thoughts, Alex?
Well, my thoughts are that he actually did what was better for him. Yeah, there might be a little bit of a QB gap this year. Yeah, he maybe could squeeze in there in maybe a third or fourth round.
I don't think he is. Let's just be realistic. Cardale Jones will not be the starting quarterback next season, Alex.
How could you not start someone who won a national championship?
I understand that. I definitely get where you're coming
what
from.
What else does he have to do?
I definitely get it, Alex. I totally get where you're coming from, and I know what your argument is. I mean, this man, he comes in and plays in the three most important games of the Ohio State season and performs through – his performance was through the charts. Unbelievable performance. I get it. I definitely get it. But when you look at Braxton Miller's track record, and when you look at what JT Barrett was able to do this year, you're going to have some stiff competition for that job. Definitely some stiff competition for that job. And I just don't think that Cardale Jones, and again, he came in and he was pretty much flawless those three games. He'll put up a fight, but at the end of the day, I will be very shocked if he wins out. But why would you make the decision to come back in the first place, though? I mean, again, knowing that you have to go against those two juggernauts and knowing that you just proved that you can play the game of football, your body ready. I mean, a man is like 262, well, over 6 feet tall. He showed what he can do at the college level. What more does he have to prove to show that he deserves a shot at the NFL?
Well, the same amount of things he needs to prove, like Connor Cook needs to improve. Connor has said he knows that he has some things to work on. He knows sometimes when he drops back, he picks up his foot a little bit and his mechanics change sometimes.
Yeah.
What I'm saying with Cardale Jones is that there's always something to work on. And the fact that he only played in three games.
Connor Cook hasn't won a national championship game. Cardale Jones just won the creme de la creme of everything, every accomplishment in college football, and that's winning a national championship, doing it at the quarterback position. There is nothing more. Cardale Jones playing at this point can only hurt his draft stock rather than improve it at this point.
I disagree, man. Just because he won a national championship doesn't mean he's ready to be an NFL quarterback. There are so many things he could work on. He had plenty of help behind him. Let's not forget that.
But Alex,
give credit to the rest of Ohio State football.
Alex, the big thing in here is if he will even have a shot to improve his draft stock in the first place, because he's got to beat out JT Barrett and Braxton Miller. Will he even have a shot at being a starting quarterback at Ohio? You don't know. So those question marks are that glaring that I would have said, hey, I'm gone. I'm going to the NFL,
here's the
man.
Good thing about the NFL Draft Combine. And no matter how many games you play, if you're a backup quarterback your whole career, you can still, and I know it isn't really dumb because thinking about this, when was the last time you had three great quarterbacks that have proven themselves at the college level in one program?
It's never happened.
Right.
It's never happened.
But the thing about the Combine is you could be a D3, a D2 player, and still get drafted. They still look at what you can do physically and what you can show at the Combine. Aside from if you get a lot of playing time on the field,
Alex,
I think it wouldn't really matter.
I definitely understand it, Alex. But again, the man just won the three biggest games of the year for Ohio State. The man just won the national championship. Why not leave when you can? When the perception of your game is at such a high level. Why risk not even starting next year for your team? Why risk that and going to this QB battle against Barrett and Miller, a battle that you're not 100% sure if you'll win out and be that starting quarterback? Why risk all of that when you could have had guaranteed millions?
I see what you're saying.
Guaranteed millions is what we're talking about here.
But it wouldn't really be guaranteed millions.
Guaranteed
millions,
because
he's not going to be a first round pick.
He would have been a first-round pick, I think.
No.
I think he would have been a first-round pick, Alex. I definitely think Cardale Jones would have had a shot at definitely being a first-round pick in the NFL draft, without a doubt. Again, this is the quarterback in the national championship game, Alex. The quarterback. This man had a better game than a Heisman Trophy winner. You don't think he's a first-round pick?
I don't think so, man.
How?
I mean, look,
okay, give me a reason. Why isn't he a first-round pick?
If you look at a lot of reviews and what draft analysts are saying.
What are they saying?
They're saying that he has the physical tools. He probably has a shot at getting drafted maybe in the third or fourth slot behind Mariota and behind Jameis. But the thing is, when you look at the team's needs in the first round, there's only about two or three teams ideally that are drafting quarterbacks here. And after that, you don't know really when he's going to be drafted.
Alex, I can name a ton of teams right now that could use, and looking at what Cardale Jones, but again, based off what we've seen in them three games, there are a lot of teams out there that could use Cardale Jones. His size, though, I mean, again, he knocks off Alabama. Then you beat Oregon. I mean, before that, you blow out Wisconsin. Look at what Cardale Jones is able to do. There are a number of teams right now that could use his services.
Okay, Al Kiper.
I'm just saying. I don't even know if you talk about all these draft analysts. What did he even weigh in on this? As far as Cardale Jones?
Who are these draft analysts you talk about? I'm just saying, some are Mel Kiper. A lot of these guys talk to scouts. They talk to the teams. That's journalism, man. You're a big ESPN guy yourself.
I just don't know how a guy, again, who wins a national championship will not be drafted in the first round. A quarterback at that. I don't know. I just don't get it. Now, I get it from a standpoint as he wants to get his education. That's certainly big. Getting your education, during the NBA game last night, I mean, the NBA on TNT, during the Cavs and Lakers game, Charles Barkley took some time and said, hey, young man, I definitely, hats off to you because he's putting an emphasis. And again, looking at his statement, he talked about education and getting his degree. And that right now is something you have to tip your cap about, because that seemed to me to be the intangible as to why Cardale Jones wanted to come back over the game of football.
Let me tell you something. Troy Smith, do you remember that name? Do you remember Troy Smith?
Troy Smith, right on my head.
Ohio State quarterback, played in the national championship at the Fiesta Bowl. Troy Smith, one, you know, playing the national championship game, people are saying, okay, this guy's going to go pro. How can you go wrong with him? He ends up dropping to the fourth or fifth round getting drafted. He didn't really have a great NFL career. He kind of fell off. So just because you play in a national championship game does not guarantee you a first-round pick at all.
Alex, I understand that. But the biggest key here is something you're not getting. He probably won't even have a shot. There's a huge, huge chance that Cardale Jones will not be the starting quarterback at Ohio State next season. A huge, huge possibility. Again, Braxton Miller and JT Barrett possibly could be the starting quarterback.
Well, what
next
do they
season.
Have to do? Well, let's
Cardale
talk about
Jones
that.
Could be riding the bench all year.
What
next
do they
year.
Have to do?
So
to
why
beat
would you
Cardale?
Risk that? Why would you risk that? Why would you even risk that possibility when you have guaranteed millions sitting in the NFL?
Hey, it doesn't have to. That's
I don't
the
know.
Thing.
I don't
you're
know,
looking
man.
At who else is there. I think if you're a football player or if you're Cardale Jones, you're looking at yourself, and he thinks that he needs to improve himself.
Alex,
he
okay.
needs some
I,
skills
exactly.
to improve at
from
the college
an educational
level.
Standpoint. From getting his degree, that is the biggest reason why I think Cardale Jones decided
it's
to come back.
It's not the only reason.
It was the biggest reason. I'm not saying it was the only reason, but that was the biggest reason. Because, again, he can only hurt his draft stock from here, I think. Because, again, you're looking at the possibility of him not even being a starting quarterback next year. And, again, you just win the three biggest games of the year for you. How – What can you improve on from there? I don't know. I have no idea.
And hey, just a quick note. Breaking news here, Al. A proposed settlement will give Joe P, the legendary coach, all of his vacated wins and make him the winningest college football coach again. It's a settlement.
Wow.
So that's to be approved. That's breaking news being reported.
That's
so.
Interesting. Okay. Thanks a
Since
lot.
Since we're on the topic.
It. Yeah. Well, yeah, kind of.
Al Kiper,
kinda.
Thoughts?
Al Kiper, get out of here. No, please don't. Do not dub that. I hate that nickname. But I don't know. I mean, I think when you look at Joe Paterno's legacy, I do think his hand was also in the cookie jar of what happened at Penn State. I mean, he knew some things but decided to not report it to the upper echelons and executives at Penn State. So he kind of enabled the situation to a degree. As far as giving the wins back, I have to really sit on that one, Alex. I don't know. I have to really sit on that. Because, again, you talk about legacy. Legacy is a word we've been throwing around a lot this week on Current Sports. And I just think that Joe Pye's legacy took a big, big hit right in the stomach when Jerry Sandusky was taken to prison. Because he was a part of that. Again, and he enabled it to a degree. Because I do think people that were kind of they didn't know fully what was going on, but they had a lot of red flags as to what was going on with Sandusky. When they kind of told Joe Pye about it, he kind of just kind of shoved it under the rug. So as far as giving the wins back, I have to sit on that one, my man. What do you think, folks? 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Give us a call right now and debate, argue, whatever you want to do. Hey, we'll open our phone lines for you to do that, okay? Let's hit our second break. When we come back, we'll talk about the NFC and AFC divisional championship games taking place on this Sunday. We'll also give you a preview of MSU and Maryland. To wrap up the show, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Revenge!
Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. I want to remind you all that Current Sports TV aired last night. That's right, each and every Thursday night at 10 o'clock. You can catch me and an outstanding guest. And last night, I got the unbelievable privilege of sitting down with a man who knows his stuff. All right, folks. He is the athletic director of Okemos High School. He's also worked in the NFL, the NCAA. He's consulted numerous athletes when it comes to just getting their careers started in sports. I mean, he's an unbelievable guy. Had a very insightful chat with him last night on Current Sports TV. If you missed it, like always, we post all of our episodes on video. WKAR.org, video.wkar.org. Just go there, check out that episode and any episode that we've done in Current Sports TV history. And next week, if you want to be a part of that live studio audience, I'll be sitting down with Bob Anderson, who actually holds the Michigan State record for most high school basketball games coached by any coach, folks. Bob Anderson, he's a great individual. He's actually the head coach of the Ithaca girls basketball team right now. Bob will be joining me, and the following week I'll be sitting down with Keon Gee, who is, I tell you what, if you haven't seen this kid box, I mean, he's unbelievable. He actually won a state championship, the 2015 Silver Glove champion. I was sitting down with Keon and his trainer, Ali Easley. Ali's been on the show. He's a fantastic guy. So if you want to be a part of that live studio audience, you simply go to WKR.org and sign up online for free. All right, folks, again, if you want to call in, we got about 9 minutes left, 517-355-9527. Briefly, let's give our thoughts and predictions on this weekend's NFC and AFC divisional championship games in the NFL. It's one of my favorite days of the sporting year. There are always entertaining games. You got, on one hand, in the AFC, the Colts taking on the Patriots. Then in the NFC, you got the defending Super Bowl champion, Seattle Seahawks, bringing it on against the Green Bay Packers. Alex, who do you got and why?
Yeah, man, I'm going to go with the Andrew Luck kind of bandwagon here and say that it's time, man. I think the Colts have proved they beat a great team like Denver. I think they could beat a great team like the Colts too, like the Patriots too. Okay. So I'm going to go with the Colts and the Seahawks in the Super Bowl.
So you're going with Colts and Seahawks.
That's right.
Okay. All right. You got a score for any of those games or no?
Nah. Give me some time.
Gotcha. All right. All right. Well, you know what? I kind of let the cat out the bag earlier in the show, and I'm surprised that you're going with the Colts though, because I know last week me and you had a lot of banter, as I thought that, you know, Joe Flacco's his track record in the playoffs has been so polished. I honestly thought the Ravens were going to beat the New England Patriots last week, and I was wrong. So and you were really high on Tom Brady. So I'm surprised that you're going against him this week.
I think just the fact that the Colts proved against Denver that they could beat a good team with a good quarterback, their defense can stop good quarterbacks. That for me, what it is. I'm not worried about the Colts offense. Andrew Luck has proven himself, but it's to show that they have good game plans against very proven quarterbacks like Peyton Manning, and maybe this week like Tom Brady.
All right, touche. All right, interesting insight there. All right, well, right now in the studio, we have started, of course, it's a new semester for all the students here on the campus of Michigan State University, and each and every semester, you guys know that we have had a lot of outstanding students last semester, part of the Journalism 418 course, which is run right out of here at the WKAR Current Sports Hub. And we have another group of fantastic students who will be working with us day in and day out throughout this semester as well. We have three of them right now in the studio. They will give their thoughts and predictions on the games. But first, guys, introduce yourself to the people from left to right.
What's up, everybody? I'm Chris Holler.
How you guys doing? Spencer and Pelzeri.
How's everybody doing? My name's Darian Harris.
There you go. Darian, Spencer, and Chris, they are outstanding. This is actually their first day on the job here on the radio show. So first off, guys, you guys are obviously, of course, big sports fanatics. Who do you guys have this weekend? We'll start right to left again. Chris?
Well, I feel that Andrew Luck is an exceptional quarterback, but Indianapolis is not an exceptional team, so I can't bet against Tom Brady, and I can't bet against Bill Belichick, so I'm taking New England over Indianapolis 31-23.
And what about Green Bay and Seattle?
Green Bay and Seattle. Seattle is one of the best teams I've ever seen play, so I can't go against that defense, and I'm going to take Seattle over Green Bay 28-17.
Does Seattle repeat?
Seattle repeats.
They do. We haven't had a repeat champion in the NFL in over 10 years. Okay, all right. What about you, Spencer?
I'm going to go with Andrew Luck. I think he's been playing really well as of late. I'm going to go him 24-21 over the Pats. And I'm going to take Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. I don't think the calf for Aaron Rodgers could be a problem. I'm going to go 27-17.
Okay. All right. Darian?
I'm not particularly impressed with either defense for the Colts or the Patriots. But who I am impressed with is Andrew Luck, like the other two gentlemen stated. I think Andrew Luck is an exceptional quarterback, exceptional leader on that team, and he will wield him to victory 35-21 over the Patriots in a shootout. And then on the other end of the spectrum, I got a real defensive struggle with the Seahawks and the Packers. I think that's two exceptional defenses, obviously headlined by the Seahawks defense, number one in the NFL year in and year out. So I'm going to take the Seahawks 20-17.
Okay, so we heard Chris talk about Seattle winning the Super Bowl. You think they'll go all the way? What about you, Spencer and Darian?
I'm going to go with Seattle. Just experience to come back in.
So you think they'll repeat as well?
I think so.
Okay, Darian?
I'm going to make it 3-for-3. I think Seattle's going to repeat. I think they got an exceptional team. The leadership on that team is just amazing on both sides of the ball, with Russell Wilson on one side and then, you know, Earl Thomas, Cam Chancellor, Bobby Wagner on the other side. So they're an extremely tough team to beat, and I think they will repeat.
Wow. So 3-for-3 when it comes to the Seattle Seahawks repeating. They're tough to go against, right? They're playing unbelievable football right now. Alex, you haven't given me your Super Bowl prediction. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to ride the bandwagon too, man, Seahawks. But I'm curious with Darian. I don't know if you might want to kind of repeat this for him, but I'm curious why he wasn't impressed with the Colts defense against Denver and Peyton Manning.
Alex wants to know why. Did you hear him at all?
You know, there was a lot of drops in that game that I saw. Peyton Manning was putting the ball on the money, and something was going on with Demaryius Thomas where it didn't seem like his mind was into the game. Didn't seem like the team was focused. Wasn't so much what the Colts were doing, what the Broncos weren't doing. And I feel like they really beat themselves in that game. I felt like the Broncos were a better team, but they didn't show that on that day. And obviously the Colts came out with the win.
All right. Well, there you have that. Any response, Alex?
No, that's a good reason. There were definitely some drops, but I thought they clogged the middle up pretty well, though, against Peyton Manning. Like, I mean, if you watch throughout the season, Demaryius Thomas, I mean, how many times did he get open space, middle of the field, and go for more yards? So I thought that they had some pretty good coverages, some pretty good coverage in that game. But no, like you said, it really depends on the day, I guess.
All right. Well, again, you guys got my thoughts when our caller, Carl, called in. And, you know, I got to go with New England. Tom Brady again. I just can't bet against the New England Patriots when they are in the playoffs. Bill Belichick, I think, is arguably the best coach when it comes to playoff preparation and playoff adjustments from week to week to week. I love Tom Brady. It seems as though he turns his game up a notch when the playoffs begin. Again, I think the Colts are totally overrated. Point blank, period. Defense isn't that great. I love Andrew Luck, don't get me wrong, but he's never quite been in this situation. He's going against, again, he's the only quarterback in this year's playoffs that has not won a Super Bowl ring. I think he's getting his feet wet right now, and I think he'll make a huge comeback next year, but I think the train ride ends this season. New England Patriots win it, and again, I can't go against the Seattle Seahawks. They're playing unbelievable right now. Russell Wilson is so dynamic, what he can do on the ground as well as his intangibles and reading a defense. I love that team on both sides of the ball. That Seattle Seahawks defense speaks for itself. I'm going Seattle and New England, and I do think as well that Seattle becomes the first back-to-back NFL champion that we've seen in, again, over 10 years. So it's going to be very interesting. Quick Reflection Friday, Alex, just briefly, favorite sports story of the week and why?
You got to give some credit to the Red Wings, man. We talked about it yesterday, but how about the fact that they won with an overtime Datsyuk with 2 seconds left? Left in OT. They get the win, and I just thought that was a tremendous win from the Red Wings. But, hey, how about all the MSU sports kicking off aside from just basketball that we've seen? How about gymnastics kicking off? You got tennis kicking off. Both pretty good programs. So those are my winners in Reflection of the Week.
Yeah, for me, I just want to bring up again Susie Merchant, the MSU women's basketball team. I think this team going through the adversity that it has gone through up until this point and to have the mindset that they have, again, there are many teams that would have pitched up a tent and waved the white flag. This team is not one of those. I'll be in the house this Sunday as they take on Iowa on ESPN2. Going to definitely want to tune in for that one if you haven't seen this team yet. All right, folks. Well, we are out of time. As always, I am your host of WKAR's Current Sports. You've been listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care. Have a great weekend and be easy, people.